In the church calendar, today is the feast of Pentecost, sometimes referred to as the birthday of the church. A lot of us don't even pay much attention to that date, but it's a very significant date because after Pentecost, or because of Pentecost, everything changed. As the story goes, on this day of Pentecost, Jesus' followers became true apostles, and the message of hope and love and power and healing and wisdom that our way-shower Jesus had taught in his lifetime here became a movement. Before, it was just kind of a leader and a few followers doing their work locally. But after Pentecost, we've got this huge movement of the Spirit. And what we know today of as Christianity started on that day of Pentecost. It's really pretty impressive when you think about that. One person having the impact that he did over thousands of years. So how does that happen? Well, you know me. I like to give you the story behind the story. And so I want to give you a little background for this celebration of the Pentecost. And we can find this background in the book of the Acts of the Apostles and also in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. And in Acts, it says, after Jesus' death and resurrection, his followers are hiding out in Jerusalem in fear and confusion. Their leader is dead. Not only is he dead, he's been crucified, which was a terrible way to die. And this inner circle that had followed Jesus for 3 years is worried that those authorities are going to come after them. So they're literally hiding out. They don't know what to do. They don't know where to go. They have no leader. What's next? Now, earlier, before Jesus had died, he instructed his apostles to stay in Jerusalem till after his death. And he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witness to the ends of the earth. Now, I can only imagine the effect of what those words were on his followers, who probably didn't go out much outside the little area of Jerusalem or Galilee, their little local areas. I mean, to go to Galilee was a big deal. To go to Jerusalem was a big deal. And now Jesus is saying, you will be my witness to the ends of the earth. Ulp. Some background, a little bit of background on this feast of the Pentecost that Christians celebrate. It's really a Jewish feast day. It's not Christian at all in its beginnings. It was known by several names, one of which was the Feast of Weeks. And 7 weeks after the Feast of Passover, and plus one day, the Jews celebrated. It was a kind of a harvest festival. And it was because it was celebrated 50 days after the Passover, the Greeks always like to label something, called it Pente, for 5, for 50, Pentecost. And so on that day in the Jewish calendar, stuff was happening now with Jesus' followers. So the story goes on. On that day, these apostles are hiding in the upper room. And what's interesting is, I always like these little words that are in the story. It says they were praying constantly. Again, fearful, concerned, but in a state, an elevated state of prayer. And the story says, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of the people there. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. The story continues. These frightened, leaderless men at this point now became filled with courage and focus and wisdom and knowledge. They go out and teach and preach. They heal and perform miracles. They are imbued with the energy and power of Spirit. Peter goes on teaching, preaching, doing healings, doing miracles, and he basically becomes the head of a new movement based in Jerusalem, this new Jewish sect that will eventually become Christianity. And Paul goes on to teach and preach and heal and do the things he does and to start planting churches all over the Mediterranean and Asia Minor. Now, they weren't really churches as we know churches today. They were really more assemblies. The Greeks called them ecclesia. And so these little assemblies were now planted in various places, and they were trying to do the work and follow the teachings that Paul taught. So in this letter to Corinthians that we read from Paul, he's planted this little church, this little assembly in Corinth. Now, Corinth was a very cosmopolitan city. It was a trading post. I mean, there was a lot going on there. There were lots of religions going on. There was typical human decadence. And here's this little group. And they're surrounded by other religions. They're surrounded by other beliefs. They're surrounded by greed and selfishness. And Paul, in his letter to them, accuses this little assembly, this little church, of acting like mere men, which I think is really interesting. He accuses them of acting worldly. He accuses them of being arrogant and not as mature followers of Christ. And what Paul does in this letter is he's calling them up higher, to be more than mere men and women, I'm sure, to be more than of this world, to be loving and caring and supportive of each other in this group, this little church. In other words, to step up, to be more than, to create the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is what Jesus talked about all the time. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. How is it at hand? If we make it at hand. And Paul knew this was possible because there was power and strength in a group. You know that. You know, you've heard of group dynamics, both good and bad. In a group that has the same focus, that works together, that really cares for one another, there's power in that. So in this first letter to the Corinthians, we also read Paul's beautiful message, comparing this group of people, and by extension, every church he's planted, this little church, he compares them to the body of Christ. And he then compares them to the real body. And there's this beautiful poetry in this letter where Paul is talking about all the parts of the human body and how important they are and how necessary they are to function successfully. Eyes are important. Ears are important. Hands, feet, heart, and mind are important to the fully functioning human body. One part of the human body is really no more important than another part. All are necessary to survive. All are necessary to thrive. And so Paul is comparing the parts of the body to the people, the parts of this body of Christ, and saying how each one of them is essential. You can't really have any slackers. You've got to be somehow contributing your gifts, your talents, your love, your support, whatever it is you have to bring to make this spiritual body survive. And I was thinking about last year, how we finally got our wall fixed. It only took about 10 years to get that finally fixed. We got our sanctuary painted and decorated. And, of course, we had professional painters to do that because there's no way I was going to get up on scaffolding to do that. But we wanted to save as much money as we could, so we said, do the hard stuff, in essence, and we'll do the rest. And so the plan was we would do the fellowship area, this little area here, the counting room, all this extra stuff. And it's still a lot of area to cover when you think about it. So we started, my trusty crew, Diane, Joey, and we're painting some more. and we're making progress, and I broke my right arm. And I'm pretty capable, but I'm not really good painting with my left arm. So, 8 weeks casted, 8 weeks in physical therapy, and even then, to those of you who are casted, you know, it takes a while. Well, Diane and Joey stepped up, came on their weekends, came on their time off, and did a beautiful job, not only of painting, but with Kathleen helping put furniture together and decorate and do those things so that we had a beautiful place to worship. They literally were my hands when I couldn't do it. They literally supported my vision of what I wanted this to look like and my dream when I wasn't physically able to. And there are loving people in this church who support us all by providing the funds that buy the paint and buy the supplies, you know, and pay for the repairs and the professional painters. One body, many parts. There are those loving people who do the landscaping, make the coffee, replace the furnace filters, greet you when you come in, share their gift of music. The list goes on and on and on. One body, many parts, all necessary to survive and to thrive. Poor Reverend Mike, he's sitting back there. He got a baptism by fire. The two of us spent many days painting the fellowship area where we're building out for offices and conference room. When I told him we were going to build him an office, I didn't tell him he had to build it. I kind of skipped that step, Mike. He didn't have to do that. He's part of this body. He volunteered. He pitched in. Painting is done. Sliding glass walls are in. We'll be putting up stud walls. Our guys will be doing that. One body. Many parts. I was struck by something Reverend Bishop Michael Curry said Saturday morning when he was giving the address at the wedding of Prince Henry and Meghan Markle. I had to kind of giggle at the looks of faces of these very staid Episcopalians. And I'm going to paraphrase that. He's talking about the power of love. And he said, if you can't preach like Peter, if you can't pray like Paul, just show love. I love that. If you feel you haven't got a talent, if you feel you can't contribute anything, just show love. Because that's what we're all about here, really. You show love in this spiritual community by sharing your spiritual gifts with this community. Each of us is an essential part of this spiritual body. Each of us is unique and has unique gifts that will bless and uplift and mentor and support other members of this spiritual body. We're poorer. We're less than. We are not fully functioning at our highest and best if each of us isn't contributing in some way. It's like trying to paint left-handed. On this feast that celebrates the Feast of Pentecost, celebrating the infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit to strengthen and empower the church body. Ask yourself, what have I done? What gifts do I share? How do I truly show love to this spiritual family that constantly and in so many ways shows love to us.